Good morning, everyone. I'm Joe. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice, an independent streaming internet radio station broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, June 5th, 2008. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 or email us at any time to comments at libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast or from our archives, you may also phone in your comments to 918-919-0101, and that you can do anytime. We will respond to your questions and comments over the air during our next broadcast. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, we're going to have John Fanning calling in. John Fanning has a family in Argentina, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Argentinian monetary crisis, something which you do not hear about on television. We are too busy trying to determine whether or not Barack Obama is black enough to be president, and garbage like that. And if I sound a little belligerent this morning, it's because I've been watching too much TV. I've been watching TV because I've been sort of an invalid. I've had surgery on my knee. I've been watching the news and the election results, and that gets to you after a while. You just can't take much. I have something here that's very interesting that ties in to a conversation that we had last week. And this is, I got this from USA Today, and it says 5% of Massachusetts taxpayers uninsured, some fined. Folks, this is Massachusetts health care program, and those that did not sign up for the health care program are now being fined by the state. Do you see how one program introduces another program which becomes more intrusive into your life? We should do another program on the Massachusetts healthcare program. It is a disaster. It is already, the overruns are unbelievable, and now they are vying for federal aid. Now, if we had a federal program, there's no one to go to. They are the lender of last resort. And if, when they run out of money, we don't have any left at all. In fact, we have no money for it. Folks, before John Fanning comes on, well, let me give a little introduction, because he'll be calling in any second. Did you know that the Argentina is engaged in a monetary crisis which is jeopardizing the stability of the entire country? People are dumping the Argentinian peso for any currency they can get their hands on before the peso becomes worthless again. This could have worldwide ramifications. John Fanning, whose family lives in Argentina, will be our guest with more details on this devastating financial event. Call in with your questions, 646-652-4620, and I believe this is him now.
Oh.
John, is that you?
It is. Can you hear me?
Yes, John, I can hear you perfectly fine. Good morning. Thank you so much for calling in and being part of our broadcast this morning.
Thank you.
Well, John,
Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, it's our pleasure, John. We certainly appreciate. I understand that you were recently in contact with your family in Argentina, getting the latest on the Argentinian monetary situation there. If you can please, for the benefit of our listeners, since they may be unfamiliar with Argentina, even where it is, and what effect it may have, if you can give us some background and maybe just touch on, if you do have some information, on what happened in 2002, and then bring us current on what is currently happening today.
Sure. Argentina is the southernmost country in South America. It is a a very beautiful country. Its capital is Buenos Aires, which is a beautiful city. About 60 years ago, it was on the same level as it was a first world country. And it has since gone through several upheavals politically. Everybody's familiar, a lot of people are familiar with Evita Perón. Well, the Peronists have been in power since the 1940s.
Boy, I haven't heard that a name in a long time. The Perón family, yeah.
Right. Well, every single politician since then has been in the Peronist. Every single president since then has been in the Peronist party. But there's basically a one-party system there. There are other parties, and there's had some success recently, but because of some of the turmoil, but the Peronist have managed to stay in control. So it's usually one Peronist running against another in the elections. And I have a unique perspective because my wife is from Argentina, and so I get a little bit of information that you don't hear about in the mainstream media. And recently they've been going through another economic crisis, and I got a few more details about that. But for those of your listeners who aren't familiar with the Argentinian an initial meltdown, which happened in 2002, and there was a run on the banks, essentially, kind of like what we had in the 1920s here, and the Argentines were buying dollars at that time because their peso was pegged 1-to-1 with the dollar, so it was 1 peso to $1, and you could basically use either currency, and there were rumors that was going to end, that they're getting a lot of pressure to let their currency float, and they were unable to pay off their loans or their debts to the International Monetary Fund. They're just basically scraping by and paying off the interest. And at some point, they closed the banks, and if you didn't have your money in hand, you were unable to take any money out of the bank for about a little over 2 months. A little over 3 weeks. And then after that, they reopened the banks, but they wouldn't give you dollars, they'd give you pesos. And during that time period, they actually devalued their currency. So what happened was you might have had $1 million in the bank, and when they reopened the bank, you had 1 million pesos, but the pesos were worth one-third of what they had been before they were closed.
I see. So it devalued two-thirds, basically, against the U.S. currency.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. And they devalued because it needed to float because it wasn't in the world market. It was no longer considered as valuable as the U.S. dollar, basically.
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
That's the way I understand it.
Okay.
And personally, on a personal level, a lot of people were devastated by this. I mean, overnight, the population, the poverty level rose to 50%, went from, 20-something percent, doubled, basically. A lot of people became poor overnight. They lost their nest eggs, lost their savings. And as a result of that, there's not a whole lot of trust for the banks, but there was also a series of presidents. There were five presidents in a six-week period. I mean, they would put someone in office, and the people would protest, and finally they went through five different people that they tried to put into the role of the president. They ousted the person who was currently in the office.
Okay. Now, John, let me just...
The name of De La Rue.
Let me go back to geography just a little bit for a second. I have a map in front of in my studio, and it looks like Argentina may be the second largest country in South America. Is that true?
That's correct.
Oh, second only to Brazil.
Brazil.
Right. So we're not talking about some insignificant country. Argentina is relatively significant, at least in the Americas, or at least in the South American area, continent.
Absolutely. Buenos Aires is a thriving metropolis of about 13 million people. It's a huge city, larger than New York City, here in the United States.
Yeah, and I understand also Argentina is rich in natural resources, and there's it has a good shoreline, you know, for trade. There's really very little reason geographically why Argentina should be in horrible shape in the first place, other than there must be something wrong with the form of government or the corruption within government, something that caused this, right? Or
yes,
social programs.
In fact, that's what's driving the current economic crisis as well, and the earlier one as well seemed to be driven by that. And a little history on the earlier one, there was a gentleman by the name of Menem, who was president for some time, and he has recently been caught with several million dollars in a Swiss bank account, and it looks as if he was doing some pretty shady things. And during his presidency, there was this, they did a lot of privatization of many of the state-owned businesses, and whereas for those of us who are believers in the free market would think that that was a good idea.
Sounds good.
The only problem is the way it was done was not was done more or less. It was an auctioning off of all the private companies to foreign interest, which actually ended up in being a bad thing for the country overall.
I see.
And the reason you have similar to what's going on in our country, you have kind of a mercantilism going on where you've got government favors for these companies that have been sold off, and a monopolization of the different things, like the telephone company was sold off to a company in Spain, and there was a loss of jobs, there was a reduction in the quality of services, the people who worked for the companies lost pensions, things like that, and so that happened over his presidency, and as a result of that, it appears that a lot of people were a lot of corrupt people had their pockets lined before they got out of office as well. Then there's also the fact that there's a lot of money being lent to the country through the International Monetary Fund and things like that, to the degree that they couldn't pay their debts back off, even though they had a pretty rich economy and pretty strong economy for quite a while. They were unable to pay those debts. And then as things slowed down, they became even less able to do that, and there was less money to do that. And that's what drove that first economic crisis. The current economic crisis is being driven by a couple of factors. They currently have a president. She's the wife of the former president, who was President Kirchner, and his wife, who is Cristina Fernandez, succeeded him. And she won by a landslide, came into office. They thought she was going to be a little bit more fiscally conservative than her husband. And the first thing she has done has been levied a tax against the farmers. And this is basically the tax on, for instance, soybeans has gone from a 25% tax to a 45% tax. So they've increased the taxes on the farmers on certain items, and then they've also put a cap on exports. So and to give you an idea of this, let's say that there's a bushel that sells for $600. And these numbers are not based on anything, but this is just to give you an idea of what she's
right.
done. Okay, a bushel of wheat. Currently sells for $400. If it goes beyond a certain level, she's put a cap on it. So if it goes up to $600, at $600 and above, the government takes every bit of profit. So 95 to 99% of the profit goes into the pockets of the government, meaning that that's anything beyond that is the profit of the government. So with rising food costs, this is a good time for the farmers in Argentina because their exports are high, and they're able to garner some large profits. However, she's put a cap on that, number one, and she's increased the already existing taxes on these goods. So there has been an ongoing strike by the farmers in Argentina now for about a month and a half. And then before that, they sat down with the government to have a conversation to try and resolve this. And she is holding strong to this tax, and she won't budge from it. But the farmers are now not producing. And this is one of the largest industries in Argentina.
So they're saying, fine, you're going to take all my money. I work, you take all the money. I'm not going to work anymore, basically, right?
Exactly.
Makes sense to me.
And and so you've got this ongoing thing. And if you know a little something about Argentina, the government actually has a group of people that are called the picoteros. Now, these people are financed by the government. They're wealth. They receive welfare checks, and they are sent out as goons by the government to go and protest in different places. They have been directed to counter-protest the farmers. So you've got complete lockdown within the cities, streets being blocked off by the different groups and these different protests going on. There's no food. The food prices are going through the roof because the farmers will not sell any of their goods, so consequently people in the cities are unable to get food. And then investment has almost dried up, whereas the economy of Argentina since 2003 has grown at about an 8% year-over-year rate.
Right.
And they've been having a lot, an influx of investment because
right.
It seemed like they're doing good business, they're growing. Well, that's all but dried up based on the lack of confidence in the government and in this crisis. And since people are a little leery of the banks and of the currency, you're having everyone sell off their pesos for dollars. And so from what my family tells me, there are no dollars to be had. My mother-in-law and my sister-in-law are coming to visit us in August, and they're trying to get dollars for their trip, and they've had a real hard time getting them.
Right.
Plus, the price of dollars are going up, and the government's trying to counter that and I'm not sure how this works exactly, but they're buying dollars in order to prop up the peso.
Right.
They're trying to keep the peso's value strong.
John, let me interrupt you just for one second for station identification, okay? We'll go right back to you.
Okay.
I just want to say, folks, you're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. This is Thursday morning, and I know it's early in the morning, but if you are listening in, our phone line is 646-652-4620. If you are listening to this broadcast from our archives or a rebroadcast, please call into area code 918-919-0101. Leave a message, and we will respond to your question during our next broadcast. We have John Fanning on the as our guest this morning, who's talking about the Argentinian financial crisis that's going on. But of course, we're more concerned with whether or not Barack Obama is black enough to be president. So let's not talk about things of consequence. And John, thank you very much for allowing me to interrupt you so I can get that out, my frustration with it. All right. I have a question. Can I just back up just for a second, okay?
Sure.
Once the Argentinian peso was devalued back in 2002, and they had available to themselves the new peso, basically, which was a devalued peso. Wasn't there a total lack of confidence in the peso then? Didn't people say, I don't think I want this new peso. I don't trust this any more than I trust the old one. Was there not that sort of mentality? And were people not trying to, when they had pesos that they did not need for everyday use, did they, instead of taking the pesos and putting them in the bank, did they not convert them to euros, dollars, silver, gold, copper, anything? Was that going on, do you know, John?
Yeah, I can't speak to the entire country. One of the things I would recommend is there's an excellent documentary that was filmed by some American filmmakers down there during this time period, and it's called The Take. And if you have a chance, if you're a member of Netflix or Blockbuster Online, I think you can get it. I doubt you can get it in the Blockbuster stores.
Okay, what was the name of that again, John?
The Take.
The Take?
The Take, right. Like the heist. The Take. THETAKE.
Okay.
The Take.
All right, very good.
And what it does is it gives a real good vision of what happened. I mean, there were those who were in the know, and they saw this economic crisis coming, the very rich people. And there was a grand exodus of wealth out of the country in like a 48-hour period.
Now, is this in 2002 or is this current?
This is in 2002.
Okay.
And so, I mean, a lot of the people who knew what was going to happen took their money and got out of the country, or got their money out of the country. Now, whether they they left or not, and so some unfathomable amount of money left the country overnight. So then this happened, and those who weren't in the know were basically just caught off guard. There's footage in this film that show people smashing windows of ATM machines and the banks. And afterwards, there was a huge lack of confidence in the banking system more than anything.
Right.
Which, you know, my brother-in-law had taken some money out of the bank because he was suspicious based on some information he'd gotten. And he went down 2 weeks before the actual collapse and took his money out in dollars. And his wife and him and basically two backpacks, and they stuck it under their bed.
Right.
So they had quite a bit of money and nowhere to put it because the government was real restrictive on investing outside of the country.
Right.
I haven't talked to him about gold or anything like that, but what he ultimately did was he ended up building a clinic and actually taking his money and spending it to build something. Because he knew he didn't want to just be sitting on it. And he built a clinic, and he rent space to doctors and to dentists. It's the most modern clinic in Argentina, and he's now making a lot more money, but he does not put any money in the bank. He's since opened a Swiss bank account outside of the country. He's done real well because of that, but ultimately he has no trust at all in the banking system, the financial system.
Right.
There's no credit available either in the country as far as individual credit. I think you can get credit cards, like short-term credit, but you don't buy a house on credit like you would here in the United States. There's no credit for businesses. Things are very different, and there's a very low confidence in the currency and in the economic system as a whole.
Yeah. John, we only have, believe it or not, this went very quickly. We had a half-hour broadcast, and actually we only have about 5 minutes left, believe it or not. So we're going to have to summarize this somehow, or else we're going to lose our bandwidth and our phone line, okay? I don't want to shut you off in the middle of the sentence. I want to warn you in advance. Can you tell us at this point, since we're short on time, this is fascinating. I wish I would have saved an hour for this, but I'm sorry I did not. Where are they now, and where do you think they're going, and will this affect us? And what bothers me is that you hear about the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, but you never hear about Argentina. And it just always surprises me because Argentina is such a major player, and you never hear that country ever being mentioned in economic terms. But where are they now, and what's going to happen? What is your suspicion? And does that have any effect on us at all?
Well, where they are now is that things will probably stay at a deadlock for a while. It doesn't look like the president is going to budge on the taxes, and the farmers are. One reporter was quoted as saying she's done something that nobody else could do. She's unified the farmers and the farmers together against this situation. I think. I don't know how it will affect us. Certainly food prices seem to be going up everywhere, and they are a large exporter to the United States.
Ha-ha.
I think it's going to hurt their economy. I don't think people will invest in the economy until the government changes its direction. But hopefully this will resolve itself, and a lot of it could be resolved if the current president and the current administration would relax the taxes that they've imposed on the farmers and back down from this.
Yeah.
I don't foresee the farmers backing down in this situation because the country seems to be unified behind them and believing that what is going on is pretty unfair. And it's really shining a light on just the corrupt nature of the government and the division between the people and those people who are in power.
You know, it's amazing that a three-year-old would say this is not a good deal. I mean, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some, I don't know the term for it, but a motive that's beyond the comprehension of a normal human being. Why they would, and Brazil must be sweating as well, because I'm sure they have plenty of trade with Brazil.
Yeah, they do have a lot of trade with Brazil, and you know, it seems ridiculous. I mean, the Catholic Church is very strong in Argentina, and the bishops and the high level people in the church have gone to the president and begged her to relax her standards. She seems to be very arrogant. Her popularity has dropped down below, I think, like 25%, and she's a brand new president. And people are just completely frustrated. And so, but you know, as odd as it may seem to us, and as obvious it may seem to us, nothing seems to be happening. And the people of Argentina are kind of used to these types of shenanigans, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. And you know, of course, we don't have the same situation here, but we have indications of it, being taxed every place that we can, and that same level of frustration that we have of the way the government operates. And so they're much more progressive in that regard than we are, but we have to be ever vigilant, John, don't we?
Absolutely. I think one of the main differences is that with them, whoever is president has a lot more power. There's no real division of power in Argentina. There's a facade or an image of division of power, but one of the things that was brought forth during the first economic crisis is how easily the president can dissolve the Supreme Court, manipulate the Congress, and make things go their way in this country.
Yeah. Well, it was surprising. I even Googled this Argentinian monetary crisis. I put down 2008, could find hardly nothing on it. And they didn't say that it was going to resolve into the same situation as occurred in 2002. But it was very, very serious for the citizens of Argentina, and they were going to suffer for it. Of course, we're always concerned about the domino effect and how it affects world markets and what triggers, you know, the collapse of all the fiat currencies, which is always a concern, you know, of anyone who keeps their eye on that. John, we're about out of time. I want to thank you so much for calling in. That was fascinating. This will be rebroadcasted for about 3 days, and I'm sure we'll get plenty of listeners, and hopefully we'll get some emails on that, and we can respond to them. If we do, I'll give you a call, okay?
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Jeff.
Right.
Thanks for your
thank
time.
You so much. Right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Folks, that was fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Here we have a major country, the second largest country in South America, going to hell in a handbasket, and only because of an obtrusive government. And guess what? We talk about obtrusive governments here. Now, ours is not nearly as bad, but ours is a little bit more subtle than that in Argentina. We must be ever vigilant that we do not allow this government to get any bigger than the way it is. And unfortunately, with it current people in office, or going into office, it looks like it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Oh, boy. Okay, this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranchakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or now you can phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101, and that's if you're listening off the archives or rebroadcast. Remember, folks, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. And our next live broadcast will be Sunday evening at 8 o'clock. I hope you can tune in then and call in and participate in our program. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.